Good evening, friends. It's a privilege to be here tonight to speak in the name of the Lord. And as I've noticed, we were having a little trouble with my second voice. This is a sermon. This thing is a perfect unit, unless something's behind the speech here. That's where a minister is a unit until the Holy Spirit speaks to him. And then it becomes a servant of promise. I think tomorrow morning is breakfast for the Christians. There is no designation of ministers and choosing businessmen whenever I'm speaking, and that's the next possession mission. And so I just nodded my head to Brother Vela, who was back there picking up the toothpicks to see if it was right. Tomorrow night now is prayer for the sick. I'm going to try to let you out. I told Brother Vela a few minutes ago, I'm going to cut my horses about half and two because we're just a little late. But tomorrow night is the night we pray for the sick. Now, get on the train tomorrow and get the people out here that is sick. Now, the prayer cards will be given out tomorrow afternoon at the afternoon service at the church. And those who are out of town and come from out of town or work in San Marcos, I have the boys here to have some prayer cards here at 6:30 tomorrow night for those who could not get in for the afternoon service. If all possible, get the afternoon service and get the prayer cards from the boys there or at 6:30 tomorrow night from the auditorium here. Now, let's get straight to the message right quick. Expecting to see many of you in the morning at the breakfast, I suppose it's been announced for you. And we'll be looking for you tomorrow. And that's out here, where we continue on with the service at the International Convention of Christian Businessmen. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and the 11th verse, I read a portion of God's Word. And as the eagle stirs up her nest, floweth over her young, floweth abroad her wing, and taketh them beneath them on her wings. I said last night I would speak tonight, the Lord willing, on the eagle stirring her nest. I spoke on this before over in Virginia a few months ago. And I know it was quite lengthy, so I just tried to speak on a few of the high spots. But there's something about nature. But if you look at nature, you'll see God. And God dwells in His universe, in His people, in His Word, in His Son. He just dwells in His flowers. He dwells in everything. God is universal. On the cross. And now in thinking of the eagle, I've asked and wondered why God likened this heritage to an eagle. And then it stirred my curiosity of being a rancher myself and watching the traits of the eagle and how I've studied nature. Nature was my first Bible. I used to, before I knew one word in the Bible, when I was 21 years old, a man told me to look for James 5:13 in the Bible, and I was looking in Genesis to find it. 21 years old. And at 22 years old, I was ordained Baptist minister in Missionary Baptist Church. The Lord was good to me. But I studied God from the way of nature, where I found Him. Just like a flower. I noticed you women here in your flowers. How they say a bloom up in the summertime, then dress like them. They bow their little heads and give up the life that's in them. The petals drop off, a little black seed drops out. Then you have a funeral procession. Did you know that? God has a funeral procession for His flowers. Sure. The fire rains come and cry this tears down, and here the little black seed. Then along comes the cold winter. Sweetens us up from the past down, first out of the season runs out. Early in the year, there is no fog, no pork, no seeds, no nothing that you can find. Yet, he knows God has preserved the life. Just as that eastern sun begins to shine and warm up the ground, there's no sign to find that little flame of life, yet it's there and it lives within. And if God has made a way for a flower to live again, how much more has He made a way for a man to live again? Some time ago I was having ice cream with an old Methodist preacher friend of mine. I mean to sing a little song that I was speaking to you about. Now he was a real Methodist. He wasn't just like a lot of Methodists today, just go to church. He was a Methodist. He had an experience. I got back and said to his name off the people. You think that the people just got the same Holy Spirit we Baptists got? Now we're not the kind of Baptists that go to meetings and join church. We get out there and do one over the back where we come through. We have something when we got through. God knows we need to live Baptists like that. No Protestant type of Baptist. Not just the one that believes in grace and brings a lot of good faith to the gospel, but one who believes in the grace of God and lives without the Holy Spirit. And I was having an ice cream with this old Methodist friend of mine, and the agriculture hour was on. And over in the middle of Kentucky, they were broadcasting and set a little 4-inch of a made-up machine that could produce a grain of corn just as perfect as one that was grown in the field. That you could reach your hand in a sack, that was a machine to produce, but your hand in a sack that was raised in the field, mixed them together, there was no way that was coming apart. Taken to the laboratory, let them open. They both had the same amount of calcium and moisture. The heart was in the grain just the same. Everything just one of them just as good a cornflakes as the other one, just as good a cook, harmony, anything as the other. And they said there's only one way you can really tell. That's buried. I said to this old man, now if you don't want me to embarrass you, then the whole money. You can act like a Christian. You might dress like a Christian. You might impersonate a Christian in every way, but unless that grain of life is in there, you'll never lie on the resurrection. That machine can put all the moisture and all the calcium in there, but it can't put life in there. That's God. Work alone. You might be a Christian in the sense of law and purpose and your Christians you can do, but except you're born again in the resurrection, you're later. All eternal life, God's life, will be raised up from the dust of the earth. Those watching the eagles and the birds, lots of times of great joy has been to me to watch them. And I begin to read what the eagles were, how many were. And you'd be surprised to know that there's 40 different types of eagles. The word itself means a carrier or a feeder with the beast, with the mouth. And that's like, and no wonder God's like in his heritage to eagles, his prophet, because they feed the word with the mouth by preaching. That's the reason he likened to eagles, feeding the flock by the mouth. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing are the word. So that's why he's one reason he would liken him to evil. And another reason he likened to evil. An evil is a special bird. You can fly higher than any other bird there is. Well, I know a lot of people here, he thinks it's a hawk. The hawk is no equal to him at all. Well, if the hawk was trying to fly as high as an eagle, he would just disintegrate in the air. The hawk can lose, the eagle can lose the hawk anytime. He can go so high that the hawk couldn't even breathe. And then in order to get up there, that means that we'll have to be able to see far. Then another thing, you'll have to be a special male bird. If he wouldn't, he his wing feathers are so tight you can't pull them out with a pair of pliers. He has to be to hold his big weight, that's the air. So when he gets up there, he has to be a special bird, special built bird, or he will never get up there. And that's the way a Christian is. He's just not leaning over or something kind of a bird fixed over. He's born and made a Christian by birth. He's a special made bird. God designed him. So before a star, way high, soar above the things of the world, and watch them becoming in a distance. That wouldn't do him to get up there unless he was able to stay there or to do some benefit while he was there. And that's the way the prophet is, the preacher, that can climb in the spirit far beyond anything, very high in the height of inspiration. A real servant of God can climb so high till a normal mind can even follow him. Because he's a special person. Oh, how I love to think of that. I always like to be a little different anyhow from the things of that life, and I don't like the world or the things of the world, and I'm glad the world is so different. That's really different. Now you know the rains and run around on the ground and the buzzards and soar, but he can never fire an eagle. He's died. I'm just so glad that God's got the people that can climb above the things of the world. Well, climb. And he has to be a special bird to do that. Then I noticed again that he's the reason that he gets up there and is a special bird, not because he desired to be a special bird, but because God made him a special bird. He is a special bird because he was born a special bird. That's the reason a lot of lukewarm church members can't follow a real Christian in the spiritual things. He's never been born again. He hasn't been designed for that purpose. No wonder he can't understand it, but even see. And another thing about the eagle renews his youth. He renews his strength and his youth. That represents the church of him. Because a man can be backbidden and away from God and put him in a good revival somewhere and he renews his covenant. He renews his youth. He comes back to God and he'll feel like he's all washed up and ready to go again. That's what an eagle does. He gets old and his habits and things begin to fail where he can't see good no more. Then all of a sudden something happens to him. And he comes back like a young bird again. Well, I remember the first Pentecostal meeting I ever went to. It was at Mishawaka, Indiana. And they had about 500 preachers on the platform. And they said, we want every man up here to stand up and say what church he belongs to. What was his name? And I just stood up to Francis, William Lane, Baptist, sit down. All of them got through in that day. I didn't notice many of the young preachers preaching. And I asked you a message. I thought they were kind of noisy, but you know, if you're not a little noisy, it's the sound of your voice, If your religion hasn't got some emotion in it, I can prove you anything without emotion to say. Right. When Aaron went into the Holy Sepulchre, they cut a pomegranate and a bell. And when that's the only way they know he was still alive, because he made a noise in there. That's about the only way you can tell the church is alive, and he knows it, amen, once in a while, or something, that a little fact is still alive there somewhere. And I remember that night, they brought an old preacher out there. He was about 80 years old, had a health into the platform. Just had a little rim of cotton around here, the old Negro preacher. And just a little rim of cotton around like this, a great big old, one of those old felt collar preachers, speaking tail coats we used to call them, walked out there at the platform, so there, and the old fellow couldn't hardly speak. And he said, children, He cut his text from over in Job. Woe unto you when I laid the foundation of the world. Turn and the order of fasting. And the morning stars came together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, all the ministers that day have been talking about the life of the Lord Jesus on earth. But he picked him up about a million years before the world ever began when the morning stars came together and the sons of God shouting for joy. Going down the horizontal rainbow in the second coming. He'd been on the platform about 5 minutes and Jesse jumped in the air and said, "Glory!" He said, "You haven't got enough room up here for me to preach." He kept out there like a little kid. I was about 23 years old. I said, "That's what I want. If you make the little room do that, what would you do for a young man? I want some of that." Oh, I'm so glad for all. And so the evil renews his youth. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. They shall run like lightning. They shall walk in that thing. And oh, how the Lord does give us those illustrations. Now, and another thing the evil has, he is a bird that has ambition not to let his little ones be hurt. He throws his nest really high in the rock. And there he makes his nest for his young ones. How different it is with the other birds. How they build their nest down low. But the eagle goes high to build his nest. Some time ago, I was down to Cincinnati, Ohio, to the zoo. I got two little girls, a little boy. How I love little children. All the time when I'm gone from them so long, come in, get in the house, one wants to pee me back, and you know how it is. And I just love the little fellas. And I'm going to use them now for an expression. Some time ago, they sit up in the morning, and he gets up in the morning and gets on my lap first. And Rebecca is a little older than Sarah. And so Rebecca got up first and she ran in and jumped across my leg. Her leg's long, hung down to the floor. And she put her arms around me and began to hug me. And just then the smaller girl came into the room. And she looked and Rebecca turned to Sarah and said, "Sarah, I've got all of Daddy. There's none left for you." And the little fellow, the little girl, puckered up her little lips to cry, and I motioned to her and put my other leg out. And she come over and jumped on my knee, and I put my arms around her, and she turned those deep brown eyes and looked over to Rebecca and said, "Rebecca, you may have all of Daddy, but Daddy's got all of me." So that's the way it looks, brother. You may have all of theology and all, but I want Christ to have all of me, everything that I am, every fiber and every bit, I want him to hold me. How that God and does his great marvelous work. One day I was up in Colorado, where I asked for a lot, and there was all the snow in the fall and the snow hadn't come yet, and the elk herds were high. And the rancher, Mr. Jeffers, and I ranched together for years while we were hunting, and we know the land like you were just sitting here. And so we were about 2 days journey back on Troublesome River, south of Troublesome River. And he separated that morning, and he said, "Billy, I'm going over to look after some sheep. Wild sheep, mountain sheep, but I'll meet you down at the other line camp, which is about 75 miles away. But I'll meet you down there about day after tomorrow because the elk is in the district." I said, "Okay, Jeff." So I went high, come to the timber line. And I tied my horses down in the bottom and be back the day after or something to pick them up. And I was walking along, and that time of year, it'll rain. And then the sun will shine, then it'll snow, and the sun will shine, and it come up a storm. And I got behind a tree and stood like this until the storm was over. It was raining, blowing. And I stood there and was thinking about how good God is. And how I love to be alone with him up there in the mountains. There was a blowdown near where I was, where the cliffs would come through and blow the trees down. And after the storm went away, I began to think on the scriptures, the great meeting. And then the sun was setting in the west, and the great eye looking across the valley, and where the evergreen had grown up there high from the storm, it formed a rainbow. And all the daily church and the dew called me the dew. If there's something in you that loves God, and you can see something that's godly, there's just something that takes the hope of and grips you. And I remember, I said, there he is, Jehovah, the great eye looking, there is a rainbow. That's his covenant. And I said in the New Testament, I remember thinking that he was to look upon as jasper and sardis stone, Benjamin and Reuben, the first and the last, and the covenant of the rainbow over his head. And just then, an old crane was piled up on the mountain, and the mate anchored down in the bottom. My mama's a half Indian, and my conversion never took it out of me. Oh, something began to call the deep, in the deep. The wild call, then I heard the old prayer, people, he got turned away from the herd. And then something within me began to call out, oh, God, you are present. There you are in the old call. There you are in the elk bugle. There you are in the rainbow. There you are in the setting of the sun. Lord, you are everywhere. And then I was amazed that a little old pine squirrel jumped up, a little old fellow about so long, and just all like the Irishman's owl, all fuss and feathers. He just began to jump up and down his hair all night. He's going to tear me to pieces. Well, I said, little fella, what I've been doing when I felt that real deep call, I set my gun down against the tree and went around and around and around the tree just as hard as I go screaming top of the wall. Well, there's been somebody who was just said a maniac out here. But I didn't say what they thought. I was worshiping God. That's all I said. I know he was there. And the person just can shout and say, your shouts are no good. You must, every way you speak out, express yourself to him and love him. And I thought, did I strike you, little fella? And I happened to notice he wasn't paying much attention to me. But he cocked his little head and looked down. He's looking down in that blowdown. And the winds and the storm had forced a big eagle down. And we had the brown eagle in Colorado, which is a very big bird, and forced him in there. And that's what he was excited about. Well, I thought, well, why did you stop me from shouting for something like that? This big eagle jumped up on one of the limbs, great, big, gray-looking eyes, beautiful bird. And he took that just as straight. And I said, now, what did you want me to see in that eagle? You mean I could see you in that eagle? Why did you interrupt me from worshiping? The way I was, around and around the tree. Then I thought, well, there's one thing I can see in him. He's not afraid. And God's creatures are never afraid. You're not afraid of nothing. So then, I noticed again, I said to him, do you know I could keep you? If possibly, nobody else there to talk to you. You see, now I'm alone. So I said, you know I could keep you? And I made out like a good reach from a gun. I see those big eyes of me, and I noticed he began to feel those feathers. See if everything was running on her. He knew that God gave him two wings, and you could trust those two wings. And he knew before I could get my gun to my shoulder, he'd be in the treetop, and I'd never seen him again. He knew what he was doing. Oh, I thought, how much more if God give an eagle two wings and you never understanding with them, what ought a Christian to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you ought to know where he's standing? Well, He seemed that I wasn't going to hurt him because I admired him. Then he got tired of listening to that little pine fruit. And finally, he just made a couple of big drops of junk, dropped his wings about twice in his outside the timber, and then I seen what God would mean. You never flop no more. You just know how to set those big strong wings, and as the wings came up there that he just walked down the wings on. He never moved a feather. He just know how to set his wings. And he went on beyond that little old pine squirrel till it became just a little dot. I stood there and wept like a baby. I said, "That's it, God. It isn't John the Methodist and Bishop Maddox who joined the Baptist and served to the Pentecostals. That isn't it. It's just knowing how to set their wings in the fire of his faith. And when the Holy Ghost comes in like a vessel, right away, on. Away from this satisfied here. Oh, the days of America is satisfied. No such thing as divine union. No such thing as that with the Holy Ghost. Just let your faith in the power of His Spirit and ride away without going to Baptist, Methodist, or Pentecost, or any of them. Just ride away upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Just throw your faith out and say, God, you still living in me, and you the same Lord Jesus. Ride away on His blessings. Certainly, He promises. One day, little Sarah and I were taking a walk. She was Jewish. And I seen the most saddest sight I believe I ever seen. It was an eagle in a cage. They hadn't had him there very long. That great big fella didn't have any feathers over his head. All his wings and feet off on the side. And I watched him. He'd lay on the floor. Take his hand. He'd get up. He'd look at those bars. He'd turn and walk this way, so he got a start. And he'd fly across the air. He was ready to go as far as flopping his wings, knocking back on the floor. He'd get up, look at the door somewhere else, walk back, get a start, and here he'd come. He'd bump his head till he'd beat his head till he'd had no feathers on his head or on his wings. And then it's time knocking on the floor, and he lays there. And his weary eyes, as he looked towards the sky, that was it. He was a heavenly bird. He was born to serve in the sky. And here he was, caged in, not a way to ever be free again. I thought that was the most saddest sight. I'd give that man $100 more than he paid for the evil, if he'd let me open that door to him out. All the faith that he was born to stay in those blue skies. And he looked up there and said, couldn't do it. Somebody would come in and say, I thought that was a sad sight. Brother, when I see men and women who are born to be sons and daughters of God, most in their place of denomination theology, that they say that they were married to past one, and to keep them away from the real thing of God, walking around out here trying to satisfy that blessed hunger that God put in you the first life of Him, and satisfy the very thoughts and drinking and joining churches and all these things, and then that's the saddest sight I ever seen. You were born to be standing in the dark to follow them. Young boy, and strong young man, God made you suffer. Lots of these saints in my denomination don't believe in miracles. I don't care what your denomination does. Your Savior says so. That settles it. Don't let no one touch in the cage. Don't need any faith. You need to be free. The reason you look upward is because you're a fire of evil. The reason you love to do that is because God made you that. You can sit quick work in a chicken cook. You are made to be an evil fire of sky. The heavens of earth is changing in your own through the power of the evil. You are not made to be like other birds. That's what's the matter tonight. That's what your hearts are hungering for. You should get loose and get free because you're an eagle to begin with. An eagle is an eagle to start with. He's born an eagle. That's what makes him hungry and thirst for righteousness. But as long as you're standing in the cage, it says, the days of miracles is past. Oh, don't listen to those fanatics.
There's no divine healing. There's no baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing better than the Holy Ghost. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? There is a man who paid the price to open the door and can be received. And shall open with his power and his blessing. That man is Jesus Christ, who died to take me out of the devil's strong shop and to make me free in Christ Jesus. So he said, take the heavens above.
What's it mean? Yet an eagle. All he is, how much different he is from a chicken. But they're both birds. What is a chicken? A chicken is a denominational brother. But he's a chicken. How much different it is than a chicken. The eagle goes just as high as he can and builds his nest in the cleft of a rock. And he gets up there so no predators can get to him. That's the way a real preacher builds his church. As the eagle of God, he builds it up on the word and the spirit of God so that the all those jackals and old chargers and cigar smokers and blue hall gamers can't touch it because he gets them eagles so high and far in the attention of God that all those savages of Elvis Presley or the doctor that was the set they turn away from because they are evil in the eye of it. That's not something that is at the spirit of the living God. The high ambition. Jesus said, we are a city that sits on a hill that gives life to everyone. And the real church of God is built with ambitions that won't stop on the earthly organization. It brings in the power and the resurrection of Christ. Fire is beyond these old chicken nests that we have around here.
Right. No human ability. Look how they take care of this tranquil. Dehydrator, somebody that's cutting on top, food powder, all kinds of stuff like that, indoctrinated. What are they? Nothing but a prey. A prey to the weak. A prey to the wolf. A prey to the snake. Everything that comes along. Brother, a man that's born in the Spirit of God, they have to be all indoctrinated and join this church with prayer and that church with prayer. He's born by the Spirit of God, a free man that depends on it, and depends on the living God to take care of it. You promise that I'll take care of it. Your eyes are ambition. They're there for God. Lord, people will get out and build a nest. They'll build a nest, a great big coop, and put a big bunch of lye over it, and put straw in there and everything like that. Just a domesticated bird, that's all there is to it. Once you get to a room, they don't know nothing about the heavenly. But the evil climbs up there and builds her nest. How many times have I walked them through my binoculars up in the top of the mountain? You ought to watch the evil how she takes care of her nest. She'll go out and get great big sticks. You'll go right to a little safe seat like this just as high. There's not a circle, there's nothing can get to it. I'm so glad that the Church of the Living God built the same way. It's built above all the things of the world. It's so high above it, because we don't even look at it no more. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God not even in you. That's right. And then you go evil, or take these big sticks, and how she'll put them into those crevices, and she'll bend them around in the car, and she'll go to dry vines, and she'll wrap them around, and tie that nest together just as tight so the wind can't blow it. Oh, God takes care of his own. And then she'll go out and she wants everything in the closet for her babies to come out. So when she kills sheep or rabbits, she'll bring that stuff in, and she'll take a big deep and stuff them. Those slippery places all full of rabbit skin, all full of sheep skin, and make it real soft and cozy. That's the way God does when he brings one of his children into his spirit. He always makes the nest cozy, all the sheep and everything. All the clothes is rolled away, you're just a piece when you're born again. God cares for you. Then how she takes care of those little fellows, lashes them, feeds them, takes care of them, she goes out and gets sheep, she goes and gets sheep, she watches her diet. And evils eat up, spiritual evils eat from the word of the living God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Man shall not live by denomination, he shall not live by creeds or by prayers, he shall live by the word of God. that ever was that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So, he don't love the world anymore. He said it. He's come out. He's not a buzzard. He's evil. Notice. Then, after a while, it comes to a place that these little eagles begin to cut more feathers. How delighted the mother is to see these feathers in the little eagles. After a while, they become pretty good sized feathers. Now, remember, they've never been out of that nest. And that old mother eagle is determined that her kids will not be stricken. They won't have the habit of stricken. I'm so glad of that. As God's children, God's determined by the Holy Ghost that His spirit, your children, will not be scorned or denominated so-called Christians. He's determined of that. And after they get the feathers out a little bit, then there comes a time what they call the stirring of the nest. I've watched it many times. That old mother eagle will come down one day, she'll look over these little fellows, and she'll say, all right, you're going to stand up. She'll stand up on her nest. She'll take those 13 wings of hers, and she'll go to stand that nest just as hard as she can. Why? After a while, she's going to take those little eagles on a solo flight. We're not going to be chickens here, Sam. Days and miracles is past, and there's no such a thing as this and that. But she's going to give them a solo flight. And if those feathers are loose, they'll break the neck. So she has to fan all the loose feathers off of them with her own wings before she can take them on the solo flight. Brother, I'm telling you, if the Pentecost of Church ever needs a wing thing, it's right now. They'll get all the loose feathers off of it. That's right. You lose. You're doing the things of the world. All these churches are guilty of the same thing, from one to the other. And notice, he has to get those feathers out of them. And if they don't, they'll break their neck. And he's shooting in these feathers. And he's got the equipment to do it with. He's got two big wings. And God's got the equipment to do it with. Both over the New Testament. Jesus Christ is saying, yes, and the world forever. Why do you think it takes place when those little eagles have been down in that path in the rock, hovered by their mother all the time, when the first time they feel the mighty rushing wind coming down? But somehow God has a way of stirring this by a mighty rushing wind. Even over there at Pentecost, and meeting another mighty rushing wind, they were holding it to stand the new settings out of the Pentecost of Church. Yes! You can actually stress the journey the rest of you. You need to know these feathers saying now. You can say a thing, you're pressing that. And you're sticking, you're trying to think about it. No wonder you can think it. Or you take a little hand and throw all that flesh and disintegrate it. That's why she can't stand it. She's got to be an evil or she can't stand it. You can't take it. And you've got to be born again before you can ever understand it through the supernatural. Right. So the old evil stands there and she fans the feathers all out of it. Oh, brother, what a time. Then the next thing she does, she sits in there and takes all of those little sheepskins and things that she stuffed out of that nest, takes the beak and throws them out on the hill. She's determined they're not going to be chickens. And she's going to make that nest so miserable for them that they have to get out. So then you have him standing on thorns. Every time he's telling her, it's a thorn. Every minute it's a thorn. Every head it stops, it's a thorn. God does that for a purpose. The only evil wants to make them that way. And if you notice when the mighty rushing wind hits you, and you begin to glorify God, everywhere you hit with a thorn, he tries to have your testimony to bring the world up. And he sees you told your best friend, he says, huh, that's your head, old head. A thorn. Get ready! You're going to take a ride! That's what I'm telling you. That's what's making me nervous. You know, you can pastor say, pastor, last night I was praying and all at once something happened to me. My life changed and I feel different. I hear that people are stretching out around our church. Another song. You make the nest so miserable until you have to get out. You just can't take it anymore. Because if you don't keep it that, that's the way you was an eagle to begin with. Then after a while, when you get to all, just an all, dissatisfied, then the old mother eagle comes up to the nest. And you know what really the little eagle has is seen what size bird his mama is. So she gets on the nest, you ought to see it, it's a real drama. And she gets on the nest. And she goes to cooing to him. Cooing to him, the eagle's wrong. Oh, that sounds good. Then she stretches out her feet to me. See how big I am? And then little fellows look up and say, oh, I'm nominal. What a great place you are. Well, some of them, and even just look to the feet across the wings and spread. They could pick up a calf and pack it all. And suddenly he can never realize what a mother he has. And so he began to look up to her. And she began to show her power. Why do you people sitting here 69? You Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, the Baptists bring you down to your Pentecostals. It's because God found it. So you're teaching us on it. They told you power is a supernatural. God's going to take you on a fight one of these days. And you want to know how great thou art. Did you ever turn it back and look at the solar system? How that those little stars and moons are nothing but insects, little grains of dust on his head. Sure, how great thou art, and say, can he look at? What type of a pastor would that be? How great thou art! He wants you to look at him. Why? He wants to take you on a ride. He wants to give something good to you, because ain't you tired of being a chicken? Don't want to be a chicken, that's being evil. So then he set forth his great thing, said, look how great I am. So those folks would breathe. You see how great I am? They feel that cool breeze coming in. That's where a man, when he gets down before God, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in on him. How great thou art! How great thou art! Trust me! Can you trust me? And the leader suffered when he said, why not? I'm just like you are. I'm ready! She's hovering over her nest. She's running over her young. And he's one of those eagles. She stole those big wings down. Each little eagle climbs up there and stretches little paws down her great big strong wings. Takes a little beak, stretches a hold of the feathers. You couldn't pull it out with a pair of pliers. So now, it has to be the whole of that little one. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, she's got those crazy hands. Nothing in my eyes got things. Simply to that cross I came. Let the world say, Holy Lord, the man is divine here. Let him release you. Let me help you, God's own saving hand. Let my hopes and power in. Not in your marriage of any scripture in, minister in, preacher, but set my faith in the marriage of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who set me free from the last human death. Let me hold in his unchanging hand. And I'll take the front. As the lion or the little eaglet are gentle than a wing. I like to think of that. I was standing in Gary, Indiana some time ago, where there's a gold here some. And they took me up to show me the mill, the steel mill. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I've always wondered how this would be. And each man of these pieces working these lathes and all shavings on the floor, and a little whistle blows. Every man swept the shavings got out in the middle of the floor from the steel work. So I said, what are you going to do, sir? I said, stand here, Mr. Graham, and you'll see something. I said, all right. I stood there. After all, the other whistle blew, all the men went out. And then after all of them went out, he pressed a little button. And I heard something coming in the distance. Roar, roar, roar. I thought, what's that? And down through the tunnel, it was a great, big magnet. And as it crossed over that floor, right down that aisle, all those sailors put that up on it and went out to the people, they demagnetized it, and it dropped them to be molded over again. I said, hallelujah! He said, sir. I said, hallelujah, and praise our God. He said, how did it work? I said, run that stuff for. He said, it's to be molded and made over. I said, I'm thinking of another great magnet that's coming someday. And so take this old corruptible body of mine and go and mold it over again. I said, I want to ask you something. Why didn't all those things go? He said, sir, some of them are aluminum. It was not magnetized. I said, well, he's wrong. I said, what's the matter with that piece of iron there didn't go? He said, it's folded down. I said, that's it. That's it. Oh, don't be demagnetized, but be folded down to some truth that be free in Christ when he comes. And the Spirit goes to pick you up and make you a new creature and mold you into his own fashion. As I noticed, the fair evil is a daughter of men. She squealed 3 or 4 times real squeaky, and she set her big wings out, and she picked those little birds up,
and she went up, 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 up. The air got thinner, there to perish with the rotten eagles. But she knows what the was, they were her own breeding. God never makes you a promise here to step out on. He'll give you breath, breath to breathe. He'll give you work to stand. He'll give you grace. Just step out on these women of promise. See if he won't do it. And so went so high, way in the air. Now here's the funny part about it. When she got up there, you know what she done? She shook them every one off. Off of the wings. They wasn't going to be chickens. They had to fly. The voice of the eagles, they turned up that damn flip-flop. What's the matter? They were topsy-turvy and everything else. They didn't care. They were flying. You say, did she go away from them? No, sir. She was throwing out to one side and begin to watch them. Oh, my. If one of them got out of paper, she'd pick him up. Amazing grace, she'd pick him up and lift him right back up to the end of those. Oh, he's real. His eye is on his saddle, and I know he watches me. I may not be formidable, I may be all out of favor, but I'm trying to fly in high heaven. The old Pentecostal Jubilee, chopping my Pentecostal wings, just dropping in the air, hard as I can, and seeing the face of God just as bad as I know how to do. And he's just saying, wow, he's not scared, and this is his name. He's an evil to begin with, he's not afraid. And then he turns over and upside down, if he gets too far out of here. She reaches right down, puts him up, bears him right back up and throws him. See, that's where he goes. So he learns how to fly. Oh, how much different is this with the chicken? Her food. She just walks around the barnyard with him, earthbound, that's all she knows. One day a guy was going to set a heel. And he only had 14 little. I mean, he's a threaten. 15, isn't he? And he couldn't find that other egg, so they say he found an eagle's egg. And he took that eagle's egg and put it under their hood. And when all of them passed out, that was the funniest looking little creature that began chicken that they ever saw. Just about, that's about the way you get them in a church, about 1 hour of a second. That's right. And there they are, all looking over them. So he's an eagle. Oh, we're going down to the Lady Faith Society. Thank you, I don't really want to go. They're going to play pool tonight? Don't think so. They're about one of a second. That's about the other one. So here's a strange thing to watch this little eagle. How you look around, you couldn't learn the habits of those chickens. The rich stacks in the manure pile, he didn't know nothing about that. These people down here drinking little sociable drinks and going to horse races and watching the horses bouncing, and Elvis Presley, and he loves sushi and don't go to prayer meetings. A real Christian thing to understand those things. Look around him.
Look!
That's where I ought to be. If the rest of them had gone up there, he'd set the little man in here. Can anyone get up there? Nah, don't you start that fanaticism among my chickens, too. Can't you start picking on things around here? You excommunicate me right away. The person who learned that in the Bible comes to you, where he was from the ocean, said, you blessed! You're not a chicken, you're mine! Then you just never know me, how do I get there? They tell me I have to stay here. So just jump and stop you when you turn out the Christmas. So when Jimmy made a jump and stop his wings and hit on the barn yard fence, got in the middle of a Pentecostal organization. Now the Baptist Church into a Pentecostal organization. And the old man that passed by me, he said to me, if you think so far, no, I can't reach you. You've got to come higher than your organization. Get out of your supernatural. That Holy Spirit is your evil. That makes your heart better. Can you say anything you've got? You've got to find out if you're a comparison. Evil. Evil. Hallelujah. You can't be a chicken. A chicken can't be an eagle. You're predestinated by God to be eagles. You were born to be eagles. You died an eagle family. Your spirit comes from God who created the heavens and earth, who drew all things and made the world out of things that were. If you're in style, you say amen to everything he says except truth. And you stand on his word. If the Holy Spirit is in you, it witnesses back to God that you're his child. And no such a priest of denomination holds you away from God. You'll go because you're God. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God streams over the building, streams over the people, works among them. You're every night when you're speaking, calling, showing the people that he was just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here tonight the same way. Let's bow our heads just a minute. I want to ask you something. If you're not an eagle, would you like to be an eagle? Raise your hand and say, God, set my hand as I raise it up. God bless it. That's good. That's right. Let me be the Lord. I haven't been, but I'm not an eagle. I'm going to get into the sphere where denominations won't hold me. I don't say get away from the denomination. I use Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I don't say that. But be an eagle, isn't it? There's other eagles in there. Raise your hands and say, God, take my hand, set me around everyone, and bring me up into the heavens. Praise God. You like me to smooth that thing, you like divine healing. Because you were born to believe it. There's something in you says it's real. Lord God, put these hands and bring them you. Bring them out of your own nest and let them know that the Spirit of God that came out is calling them to a deeper walk, to a greater experience. Not just an experience of putting your name on a book and walking out. Putting your name on a Pentecostal book or any kind of a book and walking out. But it means being born again by the Holy Spirit. God, let the stream of the Holy Spirit echo in your heart deep tonight. Let it rise as you fill with the Spirit. And someday when you come, we'll fly away into the heavens by your Spirit and by your grace. Then it in Jesus' name, amen. You love him? Without the music, you'll give us the chorus. I love him. How many know him? Let's sing it now. Right? I love him. Everybody loves him.
Come up. Yes, Lord. It was for you. The great Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, comes over this building tonight. Touch me. Mind to me, my son. You fall into my spirit. The Lord Jesus is here. How many sick people did you lay to me? We can make them with it, man. God bless you. You don't need prayer, God. I think the Holy Spirit tells me right now, He wants to cleanse you, He's God. And He's here in the room for goodness sake. We don't have any prayer, God. We ain't got any more money for your freedom. I think that God is right now teaching you to do something. Amen. You just got all of your heart. How many of you in the meeting of the night here to explain how Jesus says yesterday, how the woman touched His garment, and He turned and told her, lift your hands to me. Now, have faith and believe. Oh, I just, in my, I can tell you, it's a sight. Not a sight. There's five senses compared to about a few things to each other here. But the sixth sense is faith. You don't see it patiently, smell it here. But it's there. Just like if this microphone here before me, it causes it. If there was a man standing here, I could see it. But only way I could tell if the man moves with the rocking. But in this and wrong from this town, I know he's clear anyhow. When he moves, I can tell it. You pray if you need. If God right here now will send you, never one of you know what I was saying to you. If God will send something for you here like He did, He's done great promise you this, how many of you will love Him and know that you can do that our hearts are holding to find. God, you see your hand, I'm your servant, we are too. Let it be done, Lord. That they might know the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you the truth. I might not be able to polish up a sermon like a minister ought to, but Lord, I do know you. And I'm able to say to you, help God. Now you speak the word, and my sermon wasn't sufficient. You speak the word. In your own way, in Jesus' name, we commit ourselves to you. Amen. Let's get thanks. Please. I was a woman touched His garment. When I'm in the audience, and Jesus turns and He touched me. This Holy Spirit that I speak of is the same today with the Holy Spirit, then you have to act the same. He's the Holy Spirit. You're sick now, pray. Tomorrow night will be the regular healing night. Tonight is too. Yes, sir. Stand there just a minute. You stand there. I don't know you. Of course you haven't got a prayer card. Now you know what one is. You bring me to be His servant. If Christ will reveal to me what your trouble is, you accept it. Believe you can heal and whatever it's your need. And you know something out there looking at me, something's going on right now. If that's right, raise up your hand. I've never seen in my life. This is probably our first time ever meeting. But if you believe with all your heart, the heart trouble is rested. You have heart trouble, isn't it? Let that raise your hand right here. Go back and sit down. By the way, that man sitting next to you there have heart trouble too. Right next to you. That's right. You could hide your life there if you had to. But when I pray that man, it makes you alive. And you believe. That's right. Now you're going to be healed. Jesus Christ makes you well. If that's right, stand upon the feet of Jesus.
Some of you believe that place, believe. They pray for one thing or another, but it's heart trouble, sir. We should hear the condition. Forget it. Go home and do well. You come a long way from this to come over your way coming here. Something grew up. It'll be all right. Don't worry. Years in your life. I don't know you. God bless. What about this young lady sitting here looking at me so sincerely? You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You believe I'm with you, your servant? You believe that Spirit works in me? You're leading prayer, aren't you? If I tell you by God's Spirit, just like the woman touched his garment, you touched him too. I've never seen him alive, did I? There was nothing about you, but you got spinal trouble. That's right. You did have, you don't have that. Go home and be well. Mm-hmm. You believe? What about somebody over this way? Somebody over there would agree. You believe with all your heart? What about you, lady, sitting there? You put up your hand in the healing? You sit down here? I don't know. You've never seen me in my life, as far as I know. You might have seen me, but I don't know you. If God will explain to me and let me know that you touched this garment, something happened, I won't speak to you about that angel standing right there over you. That light, can you see the picture of it? Well, that's exactly what's making you feel the way you are. He's right over you. I've never seen you in my life. That's right. If it is, raise up your hand, I'm a stranger to you.
Some doctor got a strange spirit, which is a daughter inside your head. You're not from this country. You come from a place that's below here. You come from Orlando, Florida. That's exactly right. That's the spirit of the Lord. You believe it.